All truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good because it ain't over. Right before I die, I got it.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. Thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Sounds. We are the radio broadcast ministry of Victory International Praise Ministries, where our pastor is Pastor Thomas and Teresa Robinson. I'm Minister Andre. I'm sitting in the studio today. Thank you for tuning in faithfully. We praise God for our faithful listeners tuning in Monday through Friday right here, 6 p.m. weekly. Want to invite you, if you don't have a church home, come and visit us. We're at 250 North Babcock Street in the city of Melbourne, Florida. We would love to have you come and just fellowship with us. Join us as we worship and lift up the name of Jesus, that you would encounter him. We're teaching today about knowing God and the character and the nature of God and the aspects of God. There's so much to God. I tell you, when we look at his nature and his character, when we look at his omniscience, we look at his omnipotence, we look at his omnipresence, he's all knowing, he's all powerful, he's everywhere at the same time. We look at him being self-existent, self-sufficient, immutable, unchanging, not depending on anything, but self-existing, self-sufficient God outside of time, not depending on anything in the earth, not depending on time, being infinite in wisdom and in power, no limits, no bounds. We were talking about him being merciful, God being compassionate, compassion being his nature. Because of his love for us, his actions, he responds to us in compassion, talking about him being merciful and kind and good and faithful. And I want to continue because we ran out of time, but we want to keep talking about the mercies of God. And we talked about how the scripture tells us we are created in God's image and God's likeness. And God told us in the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, they will obtain mercy. God has called us to be like him. The scripture tells us, I am holy, be holy, for I am holy. So we also, an aspect of God is holy, an aspect of God is mercy. He's merciful. You and I, we've got to grow in mercy. We've got to grow in compassion. We need God's help. Father, help us to grow in compassion. Help us to grow in mercy. Help us to respond like you. Help us to grow in forgiveness. Help us to grow in the nature and in the character of Jesus Christ. Help us to pattern our lives off of the example of Christ. Christ, as he hung on the cross, as they mocked him, as he hung with the two men that were guilty of heinous crimes, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do, for they know not what they do. That should be our response. But God has to grow us, and God has to show us, and God has to reveal to us that he is a merciful God. Revelation of God's mercy, it has to become a revelation to us, so then we in kind can respond like he responds. It has to get in us. It has to get in my spirit. He's merciful. Blessed are the merciful. I must be like Jesus. I must move from what did Jesus do. I must move and shift into doing what Jesus did. Jesus demonstrated mercy. When the people were the hard-headedest, Jesus demonstrated mercy. When the people did not deserve mercy, Jesus demonstrated mercy. Let's look in the scripture. Let us look at it for ourselves. Still talking about this mercy of God. His mercy endures forever, the scripture says. His mercy does not cease. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I'm going to the book of John, John 8. And verse, let's just look at the whole passage. John 8, verse 3. And let's just go as far as we have time today. A picture of mercy. And the scribe, so John chapter 8 and verse 3 is where I'm beginning. And the scribes brought to Jesus, so the scribes along with the Pharisees brought to Jesus a woman that was taken in adultery. She had been caught in the act of adultery. So imagine the vulnerability, the shame, the embarrassment she's facing and dealing with, knowing that adultery is one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, so it's enough to have been caught in it. And they sat her in the midst. She knows already, I've sinned, I'm wrong. I'm so embarrassed, I'm so ashamed. Did they even allow her to put her clothes back on? We don't know. They put her in front of a crowd. And they said to Jesus, Master, this woman here, look at her. She was taken in adultery. She was caught in the very act of adultery. They said, Master, you know the scriptures. The law of Moses says to stone her. But we want to know what you say. And they said this to tempt Jesus, trying to trap Jesus into saying something that they could use against him. They didn't really even care. But they were looking to see if he says something different, we got him. Wrong motives, wrong heart. They could care less about the woman. They could care less about extending compassion to her. You can see they didn't bring the male partner that she was with, but they drug her out and they brought her out. But Jesus stooped down. He heard what they said. He saw the woman, but he stooped down and he wrote in the dust with his finger on the ground, as though he didn't hear them. He heard them, but he did this as though he didn't hear them. And they kept demanding an answer. What do you say? This is what the law says. What do you say? We know that type of voice. Condemnation. I've got you now. A voice that lacks mercy. A voice that lacks compassion, a voice of accusation, the accuser of the brethren, that voice. We've heard that voice in our lives. So Jesus said to them, when they continued asking him, repeatedly demanding of him a response, he lifted up himself. He stood up. And he said, he that is without sin among you, let the one who has never sinned cast the first stone at her. Let the one among you, you're all here, you're talking to me about the law, you've got this woman here that's obviously committed a treacherous sin. You're demanding I give you my thoughts about it. You telling me what the law of Moses said. You're saying the law says stoner. You want me to agree with it? I'll tell you what. Let the first one of you that as you look in your own life, look inward, that has never sinned, let that one be the first one to pick up the stone to throw and cast it at her. Then Jesus stooped back down again, and he continued to write in the dust on the ground. And the scribes, the teachers of the law, and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, when they heard Jesus' response, now they had been demanding a response. You hear us, Jesus, you know what the law says. Moses in the law said to stone her. What do you say? They had been pestering him. They that heard Jesus' response, the accusers, when they heard what Jesus did have to say, come on, you know what that's like. People hear some bit of gossip or see somebody fall, or and they say, what you think about it? They don't honestly care. They're looking for a trap or a temptation or a way to twist your words. Same thing, the haters and the accusers, when they heard this, they all tiptoed and slipped away, every one of them. They were convicted by their own conscience. They went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even down to the last, to the youngest. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing there in the midst. So when Jesus responded with the wisdom of God, because the character of God is wise, the nature of God is wisdom. So Jesus operating out of the wisdom of God, when they got a spoonful of wisdom, when they got a mouthful of the wisdom of God, they all put their hands up like they do in a church service, and they tipped on out. They didn't want no more of that wisdom. They didn't want no more of that. After they were convicted by their own conscience, oh, that our consciences would convict us, that we would extend the compassion and mercy of God to others. Oh, that I would be convicted today by my own conscience of how God has demonstrated his mercy down through the years in my life, when I least deserved it, when I in my own sin was as this woman, naked with no clothes on, standing before a crowd of accusers wanting to kill and take her life. Oh, that my conscience would convict me and say to me, Andre, do you remember this time in your life? Do you remember that chapter and that day in your life? Do you remember that season in your life, Andre? Oh, that my conscience would convict us. Oh, that our conscience would bring us into remembrance of when we needed his mercy. The scripture, the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain, shall receive mercy. This picture is beautiful to me of the mercies of God that are new every morning, that never cease, that never fail. Look at it. And Jesus is there with the woman. He's left in the middle of the crowd. The crowd is still there now, but the accusers, the huddle of religious folks, they've tipped out. So Jesus is left there alone with the woman, and she's standing in the midst of the crowd. And Jesus lifts himself up. He stands up again, and he says to the woman, now he has a question for her. He's answered the question that the accusers had for him, and his answer caused them to drop the mic and tip out. But now Jesus lifts himself up, and he says to the woman, I've got a question for you. He says, woman, where are your accusers? Where are those that condemned you? Where are those that drug you out here and brought you in front of me and brought you in the middle of this big crowd of onlookers? Where are they that accused you, that were convicted by their own conscience of their own sin, of their own shortcomings, of their own failings, of their own need for the mercy of God. And she responded. Jesus said, "Didn't even one of them condemn you?" And she responded, "Lord, no man has condemned me." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus said to those watching, "I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life."
This picture is so beautiful because that is what mercy is. God extending and demonstrating his compassion to us at our worst, at our weakest, at our lowest, at our rebellious, at our most disobedient, most stiff-necked and hard-headed, most sinful, most evil, most wicked. He has mercy. I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he says, "I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you." He convicts us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He doesn't ignore the fact that we've sinned, but he does not condemn us. He convicts us because why? So that we will change, so that we will acknowledge and confess our sins to him and receive his forgiveness, receive and be repentant, allow him to cleanse and wash us, like we said, remove the stain, blot out our sin. Condemn is to express complete disapproval in the public, to condemn like they did, to attack, to castigate, to censure. To condemn is also defined as a punishment, especially death. So do we, who have received God's mercy, try and kill and destroy others? This is not of God. The same people we see in this picture, John 8, verses 3 through 12, are we people without mercy? The same people that had gobbled up, had a belly full of God's mercy in their own lives, then they drug this woman out. Are we like the scribes and the Pharisees? How do we show mercy when we remember the mercy God has given to us? Are we an extension? Is my hand extended to the woman caught in adultery, full of God's mercy? Am I going to take a robe and put on and cover her nakedness? Am I going to tell her about the love of the Father? Jesus is compassionate. Jesus is merciful. Jesus' love and his mercy, new every morning, brand new. Whatever we did yesterday, brand new today. Telling us, "I don't condemn you," Jesus said. He said, "Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you." This woman encountered his mercy. This woman encountered mercies that are new every morning. This woman encountered brand new mercies. A new fresh start. And that is what God has for us. We're talking about getting to know God, getting to know him on a deeper level, getting to know his character, his nature, his DNA, the facets of God, like the brilliance of a diamond that has all of those facets, all of those cuts where it shines over here, shines over there, shines over there. Today, his mercy is shining in our lives and shining in our heart. The mercies of God. Behold, I declare to you the mercies of God. See his mercy for you. See his mercy for our wayward children. See his mercy for our wayward spouses. See his mercy for our own lives. See his mercy for our cruel supervisors. See his mercy wherever we need to see it in our lives, wherever it's looking like we're being stoned, wherever it looks like somebody is trying to slander, defame, publicly shame, and put us to death. see his mercy. And his mercy causes us to get up from that place, get up from that hole, get up from that temptation, get up from that trap, get up from that addiction, get up from that sin. His mercy is not extended that I will stay, that I will take advantage of his grace, that I would say, oh, he's a patient, long-suffering God, he's a merciful God. Oh, but he is also a God of wrath. But the wrath has mercy in it. The wrath has love in it. The wrath has forgiveness in it. The wrath has compassion in it. But he's a righteous judge. So consequences remain, and consequences have to be walked out. There is consequences because the law is in place. That which a man sows, he shall reap. The law is in place, so the consequences are there. But the love is there. The compassion is there. The instructions to go and sin no more is there. So I don't stay stuck in sin. I don't stay stuck in adultery. I don't stay stuck in addiction. I don't stay stuck in lust and perversion and the sins of the flesh. I don't stay stuck in pornography. I don't stay stuck in alcohol, drugs. I don't stay stuck in unforgiveness. I don't stay stuck in bitterness. I don't stay stuck in evil ways and evil thinking, meanness, strife, and hatred, and jealousy, and competing. I don't stay stuck, but I receive today in that compassion and mercy that Jesus is distributing to us. We receive instructions. We receive command. Go and sin no more. Go and change your outlook. Go and change your mindset. Go and receive a mental transformation. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. Put on the mind of Christ. Be renewed in how you think and what you do. Be renewed in your mindset. Because the truth is the word of God. The word of God is the reality. The word of God is truth. What he says is truth. So we receive so much entangled in his love and in his mercy, in his forgiveness, in his kindness. God, Jesus said, I don't condemn you. I forgive you. I give you a new lease, a new chance, a new start. Start afresh today. Start afresh today in God's mercy. Shift. The scripture tells it even better than that. It tells us, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves. This woman, I love it. She demonstrated humility. Sometimes people know they're wrong, caught in the same sin as her. And guess what? They'll be like an angry Tasmanian devil. But this woman demonstrated humility. This woman demonstrated openness to receive God's mercy. You would be a fool. We would be a fool. I would be a fool to not receive God's mercy when he's extended it to me. This woman received mercy. This woman humbled herself before the presence of Jesus. This woman did not act indignant with God, as some of us have done. If we're honest, we've acted indignant when mercy was extended to us. We acted like we didn't need your mercy. But God's grace and his loving kindness and his mercy, he loved us. John 3:16 says, while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ, always a picture of God's mercy, always a picture of God's grace, always a picture of God's love, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to be doing good. He didn't wait for us to be living holy. He didn't wait for us to get it together. He didn't wait for us to do the right thing. He didn't wait for us to choose him. We're hard-headed, stiff-necked, and rebellious. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm so glad today for the mercies of God. I'm so glad today for Jesus Christ. Death, burial, resurrection. I'm so glad for the quickening power of Jesus Christ and the transformation it has made in my life. I pray today that the word of the Lord has been a blessing to you. I pray today that you can see yourself in the scripture, that I would see myself in the scripture, and that in my own life and in your own life, we would allow Holy Spirit to convict us of our own conscience, to convict us and our own conscience to show us the need. Mercy is required of those that we might receive mercy. Remember, as we sow, we will reap. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I want and need and depend on the mercies of God, as do you. So while we thank God for his mercy to us, we have a responsibility to be God's hands and feet and be the demonstration of God's mercy in the earth. May God, as we spend time with him and time in the word and search out the scriptures, may the Holy Spirit of God, may his character and his nature rub off on us today, that we be conduits of the mercy of God, that we look at it differently now, that we no longer look at it like the scribes and the Pharisees, that we no longer look at it from a legalistic perspective only, but that within me, within you, is compassion, is forgiveness, is love, is mercy, is the evidence that Christ is in us. May we be as Christ is in the earth. Thank you so much. My time is fastly ending for today. You've been listening to the Kingdom Sound broadcast. We are a broadcast radio ministry of Kingdom of Victory International Praise Ministries. Help me, Jesus. We are at 250 North Babcock Street in the city of Melbourne, Florida. We invite you to come join us at any one of our services, Tuesday night, Sunday morning. God bless you and keep you. May you walk in victory is always our prayer. In Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Our Sunday morning service starts at 11 a.m. Tuesday night Bible study starts at 7:30 until 8:30. For more information about our services, the telephone number is 321-358-7455. You have been listening to Kingdom Sounds of Victory International Praise. Our email address is vipministries@att.net. Once again, our church address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. God bless you. We hope you have a wonderful week.
You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM, 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of the Bard.